General Meetings, Montreal, October 1975. Gospel by Jim Irvine.
We would like to welcome everyone to the meeting this evening, and for that purpose, of the gospel of the grace of God. In this world where there is so much to discourage, so much to weigh us down, it's wonderful to have good news on an occasion. It's wonderful to have that which can bring joy to our hearts. Oh, my friend, it's wonderful that you're able to be here this evening and to be under the sound of the Word of God. A few minutes ago, a few of us were gathered together in a little room while we were waiting for the hour to come where prayer might be offered up for this. And as we sat there waiting, everything became silent. And I wondered, my thoughts ran back to a previous occasion when there was a man and his family beckoned to come into an ark of safety. And it says, and yet 7 more days before rain fell upon this earth. And during those 7 days, I wondered, as Noah sat there, as he may have looked out the door, looking, is someone going to come? Is there going to be another who's going to walk up, as it were, and come inside this ark of safety? Is there going to be another believe the wonderful message of God? And it just made me think, my dear friend, that maybe God has been waiting for you. God has been waiting for you to come and receive His gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And my friend, it's wonderful to be able to tell you that He died for you. He died for me, and He's washed my sins away in His own blood. And my friend, He's died for you. And oh, if you believe this wondrous message that God loves you and He sent His Son to die for you, why, you too can have your sins washed away and can know that you're on your way to heaven. Yes, that's good news. To know where you're going to be, to know that you're not going to spend your life in this poor world, not going to spend your life in the regions of the unknown, but rather to spend your life, eternity, in the glories of heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, my friend, do you want to be in that company tonight? God loves you, and He wants you to come and be saved. I wonder if we might begin the meeting this evening by singing number 23. Behold, behold the Lamb of God on the cross. For us He shed His precious blood on the cross, on the cross. Oh, hear the overwhelming cry, Eli, Lama, Sabachthani. Draw near and see the Savior die on the cross, on the cross. Yes, the Son of God forsaken, that you and I might be saved. Might we rise and sing number 23.
Oh,
Well, beloved, I have one word before me this evening. I have just one thought. And this word that I have has been with us, I believe, every day of the meetings. This last day, this last meeting, 3 days of being together over the Word of God. And yet, is it possible that there may be still those that are outside of the grace of God, still those that have not yet believed in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather have listened to the whisperings of the enemy and have given themselves over to the foolishness of life and have not yet received what God has proclaimed here in His precious Word? Oh, my friend, I believe sincerely that this is the Word of God, that this is God's message to you and to me. And for that reason, I'd like to tell you about the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the only hope of man. It is your only hope of eternal life. And so I'd like to speak about one word this evening, and that word is behold. Behold. Oh, how wonderful. What a precious word to have brought before our souls tonight. Behold. Oh, it's not a word that we use very often today. It's a word that's found throughout the Holy Scriptures. But oh, what a word it is. Behold. What does it mean? Oh, it means to see. It has the implication of look. Draw your attention. I want you to see something. I want you to see something that's important. And we find that the one that has these words before his souls is God. And God would speak to you and to me, and he would say, behold, I have something important to tell you. I have something that's so vital to you that I'm going to take time. God, the Creator of heaven and earth, is going to take time to tell you and to tell me. Behold, he says, I want you to look. I want you to pay attention. I have something that's so vitally important. Oh, to call us aside here in this hour and to take up of our time. Oh, that God might give unto us not time in this world, but oh, a time eternal with himself in the heavens. And so we find this word, behold. Oh, that God would have us take note of these things, and that we might weigh them in his presence, because they are so very, very important. Behold, this might be the most important hour of your life. Behold, God is speaking to you unto this hour. Oh, for so many years you've gone on and not paid any attention to the Word of God. It may be that you've heard about God. It may be that you've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be that you've heard about the work of Calvary's cross. It may be that you've heard that, yes, there is a way in which your sins can be forgiven, but you haven't taken a hold of it. You haven't realized it's God's message for you as an individual. God says, behold, I want you to look. God is speaking to you and to me, and he's saying, behold, I want you to see. Oh, how wonderful tonight to be able to speak to you, not in my words, not into the words of someone else, but to speak to you concerning the words and the will and the wish of God. The wish of God for you, that you might behold. And so could we turn to the first chapter of John's Gospel, the fourth book in the New Testament, the book of John, Gospel according to St. John, and chapter 1. And verse 29. And we find this word here, the first scripture that we shall look at with this word in it. Verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, God says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Here's that word, and now God brings it right down to that which he would have us to be occupied with. He brings it right down to that which he would draw our attention to. He wants us to see. His only begotten Son. He wants us to see the one that He has chosen to take away your sins and mine. He wants you and me to see what He has done for us. Oh, such marvelous grace, the grace of God, that He would have you and I to look to His Son that we might be saved. You and I that deserve not the slightest mercy of God. You and I that deserve not the slightest consideration. But instead He says, come now, I want you to look at my Son. I want you to see the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, we find the Lamb mentioned in other scriptures. We find the Lamb mentioned in the 12th chapter of Exodus as that Passover Lamb. We see it mentioned in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. Genesis, there, where we find the one who is offered as the heir of all. And in the 12th of Exodus, we find there the one who would, that which would protect us all, that would be the protection for all. And now here in our chapter, we find the one who is the fullness of the mind of God, the one that is the answer for each one of us. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so we find that God would present His Son before our souls that we might see. Well, we know that the Scriptures would speak to us that without the shedding of blood there is no remission. No, you and I could not be in heaven. We could not, as it were, enter into those courts of glory without blood being shed. But oh, to think, dear one, that the blood that was shed by the Lamb of God, His own well-beloved Son. And so God would draw our attention to this one, the Lamb of God. Isn't that striking? He draws our attention and He says, the Lamb of God. He doesn't say a lamb. He doesn't say some lambs. But He says, the Lamb. Why? Oh, dear friend here tonight, I don't know what you've been thinking. I don't know what you've been taught. I don't know if you've even had any considerations towards the things of God at all. But God in His Word says that there is the Lamb. There's only one. There's only one way into heaven. It's not according to my thoughts. It's not according to my abilities. But it's only according to what God has put forth in His Word. He says, behold, the Lamb, the only one that can take away the sin, can take away your sins and mine. Yes, God is very clear. He says, behold, the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, doesn't this strike us? You know, it tells us in another place, 1 Timothy chapter 1, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I used to look at that verse and I'd say, no, I don't like that verse. I don't think that verse is very nice. But you know, as I thought about it, I think it's a wonderful verse today. I think it's a wonderful verse. Why? Because as I look into your faces, I know nothing about you. And yet, you know, I can say to each one in this room, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. And it isn't because, as I say, I know anything about your personal life. But God does. God knows all about you. God knows everything that you've ever done. Everything that you've ever said. And you know what He has to say about it? He says, all have sinned. All have sinned. You're a sinner, and so am I. And isn't that wonderful? God says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If I wasn't a sinner, I couldn't be saved. If I didn't take my place as one who was guilty before God, how could I have salvation? I couldn't. No, there would be no way for me to enter into heaven. And in ignorance, I'd enter into the courts, that place of the damned. I'd enter into that awful place that's referred to as hell. Oh, I'd enter into there. Why? Because I'd say, I wasn't a sinner. I haven't sinned. But oh, when I enter that place, I'd realize what a fool I'd been. I'd lied to myself. And oh, that I had only listened to God. Oh, that I'd only believe the message of God. God, who cannot lie, tells you and I tonight that every man, every woman, every child in this world, all have sinned. Oh, what a condemning word that is. It's guilty, and there's no way in which you and I can escape it. There's no way that we can find an escape. No way that we can find an exception. God says, guilty. We're guilty. We're sinners. All have sinned. And oh, if that's the only message that I had for you tonight, oh, you couldn't go out of this room with your head anywhere but down. How would weigh things down upon you? In addition to all the problems that are in this world, in addition to all the problems that you have in your life, in your home, and in your family, on top of, I say, before God and in His presence, you're a sinner and condemned to hell. Oh, what a sad message that would be. And so we turn again to that verse in 1 Timothy. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, there's hope for me. There's hope for me. Oh, that I might have my sins washed away, that I might receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. Yes, God sent His Son into this world to save me and to save you. Oh, will you put your trust in such a Savior? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, your sins and mine. Oh, our sins are gone, washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful message. The Son of God, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, I think that's so wonderful. Oh, dear friend, think about it. All of your sins, so great, so many, all borne by the Son of God, all borne by the Son who loved you and the Father sent Him. Yes, the Father sent the Son. The Son of God came into this world and was taken and then put upon that cross of wood. Oh, what a thought that is. Yes, He bore my sins away. Has He borne yours? Many years ago, I went into a place. It wasn't the first time that I had sat where there was a Bible. It wasn't the first time that I had, as it were, had someone stand up before me as I'm standing before you this evening. But I must confess, my friend, it's the first time I ever saw that which I'm going to tell you now. Excuse the personal references. But I went into that place because there was heaviness in my heart. I was lonely. I was separated from my family. I was away in an army camp. And I went into this hall, into this place, and the man stood up and he started telling me the same message that I'm telling you. He told me to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And as I was there, He seemed to reach forth into my seat and draw me back far, far away. He seemed to take me across the ocean and bring me to a hill. And there at that hill, as I looked up, I saw three crosses. I looked up and I saw those crosses there. And as it were, He pointed to the one, oh, one that had lied, had stolen, had murdered. Oh, what a miserable individual he was. Terrible. Oh, and as I looked at that man on that cross, I said, that's me. That's me. That's my heart. That's me. Oh, there was a man getting the rewards that he deserved. There was one receiving the just punishments of the law. Oh, what a thing it was. But then he turned my attention away. Not to the one on the other side, because he was just like him. Guilty. Guilty. But he instead turned me to the one on the middle cross. Turned me to that one that was there in that middle cross. And he pointed out, this one had done nothing amiss. This was one who had never lied. This is one who had never stolen. This is one who had always been obedient. Why was he there on the cross? Why was he being condemned by men? Why was it that he had to suffer such agony?
And as I looked at that one in that middle cross, I found out that it was for me. It was my substitute. He was paying my guilt. He was paying the penalty of my sins. Yes, I looked up and I beheld the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He took away my sins. He washed them away. Oh, my friend, He can do the same for you tonight. He can do the same for you. If you but look to that man on that middle cross, behold, Lord God wants you to see, behold His Lamb, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, takes away your sins, washes you clean every whit, that you might be in heaven, all that you might be clean, sins every stain of sin removed, that you might be found in those courts of glory. Oh, dear friend, tonight, will you look to the cross of Calvary? Will you look close and see the Son of God? Will you look close and see the one that was chosen of God for you? Will you look at that one who's given His life that you and I might live? Oh, dear one, as you sit in that seat tonight, think about it. God loved you so much. He loved you so much that He sent His only Son to die for you. Oh, yes, that's true. That's true on the authority of the Word of God. I can say that. The Son of God came into this world to save you and save me. Oh, by His grace He saved me. And now He's waiting for you. He wants your answer tonight, my friend. He wants you to be saved. Oh, look to the one on the cross of Calvary. Look to that one who died for you. Oh, dear friend, tonight, behold. Look, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, your sins and mine. Oh, let's turn over to Revelation, the last book in the Bible, and chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold. Oh, here we find another verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. Oh, I believe in that first verse that we referred to in John's Gospel. I believe that's the invitation of God the Father. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And you know, it's as though sometimes we don't hear. And now we have a personal appeal from the Son Himself. Yes, the one who paid the penalty of your sins now, as it were, stands at your heart's door and knocks and says, behold. Look, I want you to pay attention. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Yes, He stands at your very heart's door tonight, wanting you to listen. The Son of God wants you to listen. Oh, think about it, my friend. Sometimes your neighbors have hardly time to say hello to you. And here's the Son of God. The Son of God has time for you and for me. He has time for you. And He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Yes, the Son of God wants you to be saved. The Father wants you to be saved. Oh, to think about it. God wants you to be saved, wants you to be with Him in heaven. And now, this evening, He's shown you the way. He's pointing you to the cross of Calvary. He's pointing you to His only begotten Son. Oh, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. Have you heard the voice of Jesus tonight? Oh, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Yes, my sins that would weigh me down, He's taken them and cast them into the depths of the sea. He's cast them into the deepest part. He's taken them and cast them as far as the east is from the west. And thy sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, God has taken my sins so far away. And oh, my friend, tonight He offers the same thing to you and to me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if you only hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's willing to pardon you. Yes, He's willing to forgive you all your sins. All your sins. Yes, all of them. Oh, don't think that there's any sin that's so great that the work of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot cleanse you. 1 John chapter 1 says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Oh, think about it. Cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, my friend, the Son of God standing, knocking at your heart's door that you might be saved. Some years ago, in my home, there was a man and a woman. I can still see everything that was in connection with it, my dear friends. Can remember the color of the room, the color of the couch, the color of the drapes, the curtains. I can still see their faces. I can still see them sitting on that couch. My wife in a chair over here, me standing in the archway speaking to them. Speaking to them about the very same things that I'm speaking to you about. And as they sat there, they owned, they admitted that everything that I said was true. Yes, they admitted they knew there was a heaven. They admitted that they knew that there was a hell. They admitted that they knew that there was a time that they were going to meet God. They admitted everything that was presented to them. And when we asked if they would turn, these are the words of both of them. "I would rather go to hell than give up my life. I would rather go to hell than to give up my life." They wanted, they chose to go on in their sinful course. Oh, my friend, you think how serious that must have been. I tell you, it's not a story. I tell you, it's the truth. And I'll tell you something more. It was one of the last times that I ever saw my mother alive. Oh, my friend, the Son of God was standing by her heart's door, saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And they refused. What about you? You might look at my mother and her friend and say she made a foolish choice. You might say that she didn't think about it enough. She didn't give due consideration to the fact that she would enter into eternity in a few short months. My friend, I can only ask you one question. What about you? Behold, the Lord Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock at your heart's door. The Son of God wants to save you tonight. Wants you to have peace concerning where you will spend eternity. He wants you to know that your sins are forgiven, washed away in His own blood there at the cross of Calvary. Yes, my friend, Jesus died for you. Oh, isn't that wonderful? God loved you that much that Jesus died for you. Are you going to throw off His offer of mercy tonight? Are you going to give an answer of no to the Son of God? Oh, my friend, think of the seriousness of it. The Lord Jesus Himself, one of the Godhead, stands tonight at your heart's door knocking. And if you will just hear His voice and let Him in, oh, He'll save you. He'll wash your sins away. You don't deserve to go to heaven any more than I do. But, oh, God loves you. He loved me. He loves you. And I know that the mind of God is that He's not willing that any should perish. But He wants you to be saved tonight. Do you want to be saved? Oh, the Lord Jesus wants you to be saved. In the 1800s, there was a man by the name of Lord Shackleton. He was one of the great explorers of the North and South Pole. And he ended up in the Antarctica on an expedition with 27 men. And while he was there, he got into dire trouble. All of that which was support to him was lost. The ship that he had taken into those icy gulfs was taken and broken like a matchstick. Supplies were lost and drifted down below the depths of that ocean. And there he was stranded in that place. And they fought their way back along an explorer's route until they came to a somewhat protected place, if there is such a thing in that land of ice and snow. And there he left 24 men. And he set out across the ocean on a raft, three other men, to an island, I believe, which is called South Georgia, which contained the most southernmost town or city in the world. And he had an impossible task. As he set out for that place, he had to scale the mountains because he came in on the wrong side and get safely down the other side. Hundreds of miles in a raft in that forlorn place and get safely into that supply station. Get supplies in another ship and come back. And this journey was almost beyond human expectation. But Lord Shackleton did make it. And he did get that ship, and he did go back, and he did rescue those men. And you know, when his ship came into view to that place, there wasn't one man that hesitated. When the word was given, "Behold the ship, there it is," everyone got in and went away. They didn't even take the things that were there. They didn't take any consideration. There was the escape ship. Rescue had come. And they left. Oh, these men didn't stand around. And tonight, my dear friend, behold, the Son of God is standing at your door. Maybe you don't realize your peril. Maybe you don't realize that there is a lost eternity ahead of you. Maybe you don't realize that hell is real. Oh, there's so much goes on in this world today that the devil, the enemy of our souls, as it were, has seemed to take the fear out of the thought of hell, a place of torments. Why, if we see individuals today killed right and left. We see people being murdered before our eyes. And so we lose the thought of, oh, how terrible death is. But oh, my friend, I want to tell you that death is real. Eternity is real. Hell is real. But all the offer of God's mercy is real tonight too. Oh, He offers you pardon and salvation. Yes, my friend, the Son of God who loves you. Oh, tonight, behold, the Savior at the door. He wants you to be saved. Here's this one knocking at the door, and we, as it were, would take it lightly. Oh, think about this one who is the Son of God. He stands at the heart's door. He is the Son of God. And you may reject Him tonight, but oh, what are you going to do in a coming day? Let's turn to the book of Esther and the 6th chapter. We see in this account a man that was despised. And oh, that's what we find in this world today, my friend. The Son of God despised. But let's see what happens to this one that is despised. Let's go back into the 5th chapter. The 13th verse. So we can see the hatred of the heart of this one. And he is speaking here. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then let's go over into that 6th chapter. Verse 3. And the king said, What honor and dignity hath been done unto Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, There is nothing done for him. And the king said, Who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servant said unto him, Behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, Let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? And Haman answered the king, For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king uses to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let his apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of the one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Then the king said to Haman, Make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, Thus shall it be done unto the men whom the king delighteth to honor. Oh, my dear friend, might I just explain it simply this way? Here was a man that hated another man. Here was a man that despised the goodness that was in this other man's heart. Because this man had shown what was in the hearts of men. And so the Lord Jesus, in coming into this world, He's displayed our hearts open. We know what's in each one of our hearts. But God has given a remedy. And that one who knows everything about you tonight wants you to be saved. And so this one, he said, I'm going to take care of that one. I'm going to wipe his name off the face of the earth. And that's what Satan would like to do here. He would like to be done with the name of Jesus. And oh, my friend, think about it. The Lord Jesus tonight offering you salvation. And there's a time coming when God is going to honor this one. And so we find that Mordecai came forth then, and he wanted, as it were,
to have the place of honor for himself. But what's the end result? The result is that he takes this one through the streets, proclaiming the one whom the king delights to honor. He says, "Behold, behold, the man the king delights to honor. Behold, oh, the same one that tonight is standing at your heart's door, beckoning you to behold, I stand at the door and knock. This one that will offer you salvation tonight. But oh, to refuse him, what is it? Oh, it's just as it were to wait until another day when he shall be exalted, when he shall be given his proper place, and every eye shall look upon him. And yet you, because you refused him now, tonight you can be honored with the Son of God. But oh, in that day to come, to be condemned, to be banished from his presence forever. Oh, this one sought honor for himself. But my friend, oh, that you might seek honor and glory for the Lord Jesus. Oh, tonight he stands before your heart's door beckoning that you might be saved. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 22. And I believe that this verse was mentioned at the beginning of our meetings. And I believe that the Lord has allowed us to behold this one. And so might we, as it were, use these scriptures in closing. The 22nd chapter of Revelation, verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Oh, here we are, dear friend. I believe the Spirit of God bringing before us that we are to behold the Son once more. The Father and the Son and the Spirit speaking to each one of us tonight. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the One who comes quickly. The One who would have us each one to be saved. The One who's coming again. Yes, the Lord Jesus is coming again. He says, behold, I come quickly. What does that mean? Oh, it means, my dear friend, that you may never have another opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Oh, it may be that tonight is the last night. It's the last night of these meetings. Oh, how much prayer has gone up for this time together. 3 days ago we came together, and now the time is gone, completed, over, and it's the last moments of this time together. And just as that is, so shall it be when the Lord Jesus returns. Behold, he says, look, pay attention, I come quickly. Oh, he's going to come down and take away those who are redeemed by his precious blood. Behold, I come quickly. Who? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The one that offers salvation tonight for you and for me. Oh, this one, this same blessed one that says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Tonight offering salvation. Tonight he can be your Savior. But oh, when this takes place, it's all over. It's finished. It's completed. There's no chance. No second chance. Oh, my friend, think about it. Tonight you have an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But behold, I come quickly and it's too late. It's too late. Oh, we're not speaking men's wisdom. We're speaking the Word of God. Not too long ago, I was in a bank in Sackville. And there's a man there that likes to pride himself in his knowledge. And so I was speaking to him about the Bible.
and about the Lord Jesus. And he says, oh, he says, no about those things. He says, no, he says, I'm not sure that they're true. He says, if they are true, I'm all right. No, I said, wait a minute. There's something here I don't understand. You say firsthand, you say you don't believe, and then you say you've read enough that you're all right. He says, oh, yes. He says, I've read in there, and it says that when the end comes, why, there's going to be somebody come around and want to write a number on my forehead. And when that happens, I'll believe. Oh, I said, oh, sir. I said, I'm sorry. But it's too late. Oh, no, he says, I'll be all right. He says, I know that if that happens, it's true. I say, it's too late. Oh, but he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen. Oh, he says, behold, I come quickly. No other opportunity. Oh, my friend, can I tell you this way? You see that door over there? Most of us came in that door. Most of us will go out that door. I am so sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. I'm more sure of that than I am of going out that door. I'm more sure that the Lord Jesus is going to come and take His own to be in glory with Him. Those whose sins are washed away in His own blood. I'm more sure of that than walking out that door tonight. Oh, I know the Word of God is true. But in a moment, I could fall down here and be gone into an eternity with Christ. I could leave this scene just like that. And oh, my friend, I wouldn't ask you to weep. I'd ask you to rejoice. Because I'd be looking into the face of Jesus Christ, the man who died for me. What about you? Oh, my friend, think about it. Tonight, God offers you salvation. And you can be sure of eternal life. You can be sure of heaven. You can be sure of your sins forgiven. But you can't be sure of getting home tonight. Oh, my friend, think about it. Oh, the Son of God, the Lamb of God who loves you, who taketh away your sins. Will you believe in Him tonight? Will you receive Him as your own personal Savior? Yes, my friend, the Son of God is coming. And are you saved tonight? Oh, are you saved tonight? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Yes, your sins washed away, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Oh, my friend, it's going to happen. And all the redeemed are going to be gone. And if the Lord Jesus came right now, how many seats in this auditorium would be empty? You know, there's going to be great confusion in this world. Going to be great confusion because all of a sudden, masses of people disappear. And I come to one of the saddest points that I can think of. Not sad for me. But you know, as I look around in your faces, I wonder who's going to tell the world what happened. They're going to come around and say, what happened to those people? Where'd those people go? And you're going to have to say, well, I was sitting there listening, and I heard that Jesus was coming again, and I guess He came, and He took them to heaven. Oh, is that what happened? Yes. Who went? Well, my mother, my father, my neighbors, my friends. They all went? Yes. Why didn't you? Because I didn't believe. Because I didn't believe. Oh, my friend, think of it as you sit there tonight. This message is for you. God loves you. Jesus died for you. And the Spirit of God would bid you come. Let him that is athirst come. Come whosoever will. Let him come and take of the water of life freely. Oh, my friend, tonight, as you're sitting there in your seat, it's as simple as bowing your head
and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come in. Will you be saved tonight? Behold, the Lord Jesus is coming again. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, I come quickly. Oh, my friend, are you going to obey the Word of God tonight? Oh, believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Oh, my friend, throughout all eternity, we shall look on the Lamb of God who died for me, and we shall proclaim His glory. Behold, the worthy one. Behold, the one who died for me. Will you be in that company, or will you be in a lost eternity? Oh, tonight, my friend, God offers you salvation through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Could we sing number 20?
No.